Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you that we can sing praises to your name. And God, we'll be doing, that's one thing that we'll be doing for all eternity in our worship to you. And I thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill me with your spirit tonight and help me ministering your word to your people. God, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for those that are here with us online, God, and Father, I thank you that our petitions are before your throne and that you will work them according to your will. Help us to be those who wait upon you. God, those who trust you more, increase our faith, teach us to pray, God. And Lord, do your work in every heart tonight. And we pray for, should you tarry for the services and such the coming week, and for the services regarding our dear sister who's with you now. God, might you use these things to comfort the family. And Father, to challenge one who might be lost, God, who would need to be saved. Father, that they would be saved and come to you. God, we need you to work in our hearts always. At best, we're a needy people. And so, Father, we're looking to you. And, Lord, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
All right. Where are we? Hey, this is faithfulness. What's it doing here to me?
All right. Last week we looked at about the Lord watching over judging. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. And God witnesses and judges. God, the one who's given us this word, God, the one who's inspired this word, is the one watching over us. And he's going to discern what our works. We talked about that. We see that people as judges sometimes, people critique us, and we want to hear praise from people. There's a place for that, a place for encouragement and such. And we looked at also we'll look at how knowing that God is watching over us and that there is a judgment seat when our works will be tried, how that should affect our works. We looked at the idea that Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and we saw in that term shall judge, the idea of eminence. In other words, it's like God is leaning over the banister of heaven, waiting to do this judging, waiting to look at our works and reward us. It's something he's anxious about, and it's determined, it's imminent, it's coming at any time, and so we ought to be ready for it, and knowing that he is indeed our judge, amen. He's the one who will determine the value of our work, and will reward us accordingly. There are rewards for living the Christian life, for letting Christ live the Christian life through us, as we've been very clear on that. We talked about the accountability got that far, how that we, you know, in the church and stuff, we're accountable to one another, and that helps us grow as well. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so we come and we talk together and we see one another and we pray for one another, and that makes us accountable. God wants us to be accountable to him, to one another. In 2 Timothy 4:1, we see that, well, God's watching over us. But 1 Peter 5:5, Peter writes, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." What's he saying there? At any time, we can step back and you know, I can learn something from Kayla back there reading her book. And I can be challenged in my spiritual life by something I see her do or hear her say. And I've heard about, you know, about some of the children, you know, sharing their stuff with some of the others in the nursery. And I think, well, that's a good thing. That's a good lesson for me to remember. Amen. And we can learn from any other believer. And we ought to have our spiritual eyes and ears open for that, looking for that. What can we learn from one another? When the Lord returns, he will judge believers who are living and those who have already died. So even if Timothy would die first, God would still be judging him. 2 Timothy 4:1, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so he is going to come back for us, and he is going to set up his millennial kingdom. And when he comes back, there's going to be the judgment seat of... Is my mic on? My mic on? Okay. My mouth's big enough anyway. They probably don't need that. But at his appearing... And his kingdom. Now, some have likened those as one and the same. Some others say it's speaking of the rapture and then the millennium. Well, actually, there's going to be judgments for both and rewards for both. So it's really neither here nor there. It's coming in both ways. We read about the believer's judgment in a couple of places. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 3:8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 4, about all the church working together, and God builds us and makes us strong together. We are laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Ye are God's husbandry, so we're compared to a garden, and ye are God's building, we're compared to a building. God is making us strong by his word, by his Holy Spirit, by ministering to one another. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul writes, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you can have your works burned up and still be saved. And that goes along with the doctrine of eternal security. You're not saved by your works, okay? But we are either rewarded to them or we lose rewards. Some things will be invaluable for eternity because we did them in the flesh or we did them for the wrong reasons or whatever. Some things we will have yielded to the Spirit, meaning Christ will have done what? Will have done that through us. And those are the things. Interesting that the things that will be rewarded for will be those things that he's done through us. He is our life, the Bible says. He's the one living is through us. And in 2 Corinthians 5:6, we're always confident, Paul writes, that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For we must all appear, here it is, before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that done, whether it be good or bad. Yes, we're talking about works here. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that's his majesty, the fact that he is eternal, just being awestruck at him. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your consciences. If we had more fear of the Lord now, we would have more faithful Christians. One of these days, I mean, do we realize that he knows our every thought? Our every thought is before him. And if we would have more Christians fear that, we would have more Christians seeking to live holy lives. Amen. And we would have more Christians hating our own flesh. Amen. And recognizing how fallen our flesh is. We are to be what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You start trying doing that, we realize that we got some bad ones running around in there that need to be captured and imprisoned. Amen. God, this thing's not right, and I don't want to be thinking it. So you take it. You know, you can't help it when a thought comes. Amen. But we, you know, like one someone said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. Amen. And that's what we need to do, amen, is submit that thing to God. It's not a judgment of a believer being accepted or rejected. He says, in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We may be accepted of him. And this is not talking about salvation. Now, I'll guarantee you, a lose your salvation person will probably go to that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and indicate that salvation's there. It's not talking about salvation. Our salvation's not procured or secured by any of our good works. We may be accepted of him. That word, the Greek word eurestos, has the idea of well-pleasing. And we do find that often, what is it that we want to hear from our Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All things, you know, were created by him and for him. Revelation 4 says, for his pleasure they are and were created. And so we were created to please him. That's where we're going to find our fulfillment, when we seek to please him. Amen. And the devil's going to lie to you. He's going to say, no, you're going to have more fun if you go ahead and do that sin. Let me tell you something. You'll have fun if you do that sin. Don't let anybody ever tell you that sin's not fun, because your flesh and my flesh like sin, okay? But I'll tell you this. It is the pleasures of sin, what? For a season. And I want to tell you, sin has a price. And it is not worth the pleasure, the brief pleasure that it gives. And we must not be deceived by the devil, and nor fooled that our flesh can't desire something that it shouldn't, because it sure does, doesn't it? And we don't have to park there. We can have victory over that. And again, we mentioned, the more we get victory over some of those things, yes, doing godly things does become a habit. Amen. Didn't look like any of you got dragged into church here tonight. You know, I don't see a rope hanging on anybody. Okay, that's a good thing. All right. No, we came because we want to. We want to be here, and accepted. Eurestos, well-pleasing. It's the same, and we see it throughout the scripture when this word is used. Romans 12:1, and it's using the idea of living a Christian, living life for God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So in the same context, the same Greek word is used there as well, something well-pleasing to God. You find it again in Romans chapter 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is it? Did I do that twice? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the will of God that pleases him. Learning those things. But talking about living for the Lord, Romans 14:18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Same word in the same context. The idea of us living for him in a manner which is pleasing. I've got a few more here, but I won't read through them all for time's sake. And by the way, the same word is used here in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Same Greek word. This is acceptable unto the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. Hebrews 13:21 says, God is the prayer to God to make you perfect in every good work and to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. There it is. There's him working in us that which is what? Well-pleasing to him. And by the way, that's how everything is done. It comes out well-pleasing to him. It's him working in us. Him in us. So there's going to be this judgment seat of Christ where he knows every motive. He knows every thought. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there anything that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. He knows every motive. He knows all of that. And if we had a little bit more fear of the Lord, we'd have a little less Christians going astray. We need that. And that judgment is coming. Matthew 25, I won't go there for time's sake. I probably will go. I mentioned about going till about 10 after on Wednesday night since we're doing the prayer time. So we'll probably get back into that habit. Matthew 25 talks about the judgment of the nations. When the Son of Man, Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's that throne that he's going to sit on during the millennial kingdom. Okay? And by the way, there'll be a judgment before there. And the lost will be consigned to their place, and the saved will be consigned to eternal life. And by the way, all the saved will be that are living will be going into the millennium. Amen. And we'll be going in our new bodies because the rapture will have already happened. So we are not subjects in the millennium. We are co-regents in the millennium. We are reigning with the Lord. Praise be to God. So Timothy is challenged with this. Timothy is going to face perilous times as we may at times today. But we realize that God is going to come and he's going to overthrow all opposition and make this world his kingdom. Therefore, Timothy is not to be afraid to carry out his charges as a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, his mentor is in jail, and he is facing his martyrdom as he writes to Timothy. Timothy is not to let that fear turn him away from Christ. Why? because Christ is going to turn this place inside out, upside down, and he's going to reign. Amen. He's going to put down all power and authority. And that time is coming. And so we look to that. Question 4 in your book asks, how often do you think about standing before Christ, your judge? Well, if we'll think about that a little bit more, that'll help us in our walk. Amen. Help us in pursuing after holiness. Romans says, you have your fruit, what? Unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. That's where our fruit's at, in becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, in seeking him. How should it affect our service? Question 5 in your book asks. It should make us realize that the most important part of our service is our heart, the motives that we are doing it. And are we yielding to the Lord to do what he wants us to do? And our problem is, you know, the old flesh wants to appear spiritual, okay? The old flesh is satisfied with just the praise of men. You know, I mentioned it's not wrong to encourage somebody in the ministry or something. There's a time for that. But the Christian who is walking with God, what? The greatest thing that we can hear is, well done, amen? And that's what, and by the way, I think the more work that's done on this earth, the more labors that are done by the believer that no one ever knows about, those are going to be the ones that get the most rewards in heaven. I really believe that. God's going to, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Amen. And those that we think, wow, they're going to have a lot of rewards. Well, maybe not so many. Might be just somebody who just quietly served there in the church and ministered to the believers outside the church. Nobody ever knew about it, never mentioned it. But you know what? God's keeping track, isn't he? God's keeping track, and he doesn't lose track. So it ought to, future judgment by Christ should have a purifying effect on our lives. Got a verse for that. We'll keep going. To have a purifying effect, it should provide us with an incentive to remain faithful. I put some other things in, but I forgot to get my thumb drive again. Okay, God witnesses and judges, and reward awaits. Paul writes in verse 6, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul, he knows his reward's coming. He's been serving God. Philippians 2:6, Paul encouraged the Philippian church to be holding forth, or Philippians 2:16, I'm sorry. He encouraged the Philippian church to be holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Once again, there's Paul considering, if I don't see someone else edified, I consider my work in vain. You'll find that is a thread through all that the Apostle Paul does. He's doing it that others would get a hold of the gospel, that others would become witnesses, and he'd feel like his work was nothing if he couldn't help someone else. You'll find that multiple times. And he says, he continues writing to the church at Philippi, and he continues in Philippians 2:17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. He's saying, if I be offered upon the sacrifice of your faith. Now, when he was writing to Philippi, that was his first imprisonment. He was going to get out of that one. But he could have died. He wasn't sure about that. So he's saying, if I do get beheaded now, then I'll look at my work as a drink offering poured over you. You're the offering. God's used you. And now God's pouring my life out as a drink offering over, and it's all for God. It's all for God. And that's what he was comparing his life to there, as when he says, being offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. He talks about his life. And your book asks in question six, what three periods does Paul address? It's interesting in his life, he talks about his life what? Past, present, and future, doesn't he? He says, I have fought a good fight. He's looking back. I have finished my course. That's right now. He's done. That's where he's at right now. I have kept the faith. That's where he's at right now. And then he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So he's looking back, he's looking where he is now, and he's looking forward, and he knows where he is with God. Isn't that a wonderful, glorious blessing? Listen, there's no greater peace than to know where you are with God. That is, if you're right with God, okay? There's no greater disturbance than to know where you are with God and it's not right with God, okay? There's no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. And by the way, there's no peace for the Christian who chooses to live in wickedness on a continual basis. There's no peace for that either. And praise God for that, amen? Because that's part of what he uses to draw us out of that, amen? Wonderful to be miserable, amen, when we stray from God. And we ought to remember that. So he saw his death as being imminent. The Apostle Paul did. He said, I'm ready to be offered here. He says, I'm ready to be offered in verse 6, and he will this time. He will be offered up. Now he saw his death as imminent. Paul, because he is a Roman citizen, he would be beheaded rather than crucified for his capital punishment. That was one of the privileges that a Roman citizen had. He was pouring out his life like the drink offering. You'll find that in Leviticus 15, verses 5 and 7. The fourth part of an hin and wine for a lamb or for a ram, half an hin of oil, a drink offering thou should offer, a third part for a hin of wine for a ram. So they would pour that drink offering on the lamb or on the ram. And that was how Paul was picturing their service to the Lord. He says in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That word departure is anelusis in the Greek, and it means an unloosing. It's a metaphor drawn from loosing from moorings, preparing to sail away, and a departure. What is the Apostle Paul saying? He was a tent maker, and what he's saying is, I am getting ready to depart from this tabernacle. This tent that I'm living in, I'm getting ready to leave it. And I know where I'm going, by the way, when I do, amen? And I'm going to eventually have a better one. As a matter of fact, when he thought he could have died in the first imprisonment, he wrote to Philippi, I'm in a strait betwixt two, Philippians 1:23, having a desire to depart, same word, to be loosed, and to be with Christ, which is far better. He says, but to stay here is needful for you. And so I'm convinced that I'm going to stay. And we believe that he was released at that time during that imprisonment. So we see that. I think about this in closing. He talks about being loosed from the tent. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that of our earthly house, of this tabernacle, this tent, were dissolved. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now you pair that with John 14:2, and I think you'll see a powerful truth. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What's he saying there? I think he's talking about the new body. That we're in this tabernacle now, and Paul says, I have a house from heaven coming. Paul says, we desire to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. Jesus says, I've got many mansions. See that new body? It's a mansion compared to this tent we're in now. Amen. It's a mansion. Can you imagine? Going all around the world, not being affected by hot or cold, you know, visiting Alaska and being out there in the freezing cold, Brother Travis, and doing all that work and stuff you had to do out there, and just traveling all around. The heat doesn't bother you, the cold doesn't bother you. And just think it, and you're there. You know, by the way, in a renewed creation, this creation is cursed and it's beautiful. I'm sure the renewed creation with no curse is going to be far more wonderful. Amen. And we're going to be traveling around in our mansion, in our new house that God has put on us. By the way, it's going to be pretty interesting too, I think, being a spirit without a body for a little while, amen, if we happen to go before the Lord comes. Because the angels are spirits, and they do a lot of things, don't they? They even appear in bodies sometimes, don't they? And yet the Bible says that they're spirits. Okay, that's going to be an interesting experience as well if we would happen to pass away before the Lord returns. We would experience that for a little while. Either way, God has things planned for us that would just blow our minds. Amen. And in the meantime, it's not easy here, is it? But we have God's Spirit in us, don't we? We have the Lord Jesus to walk with us every step of the way. And we need to be among those who learn to call on Him. Pray. Amen. We need to pray. And let's not let prayer, it's one of the things that we need most, and it's one of the first things we let slip. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and blessings. I thank you for this church. And God, I feel so blessed to minister here. And God, I'm thankful for the faith of these people and for the laborers and the love that I've seen so many times poured out among them. And God, I just thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, to help us to grow in that, to grow in our love to you, to one another, to the lost world, God, that we might be even like the Apostle Paul. He talked about those that love is appearing. And Lord, we'll look at that some more in the coming week if you give us that time. If not, we'll know about it then anyway. So praise your holy name. Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.